Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see you guys. And welcome to Every Nation New York City. As we said, we do have a lot of guests here from the people headed into the World Conference in Orlando. Pastors from the Philippines, New Zealand, Australia, and Germany are here. So, Every Nation welcomes Every Nation. That's what we do. And really great to see all of you. Now, I have a, we had to clean our apartment yesterday, and we cleaned it, radical cleaning. Someone gave me this brand new Bible a year ago. It's a minister's Bible. And it's been sitting there, and I just cannot stand to have a Bible just sitting there, a brand new Bible. So the first person that wants a new Bible, it's black calfskin leather. It's New King James Version, all right? So that means it was 1611 was the original King James. So this was 1613. That's a joke, everyone. So, all right, so this is, it's recent. So who would like a new Bible today? So that, Daniela. I'm sorry, the first hand that popped up. Who are you back there?
I'm Chris. I'm in Bible school. I'm from South Africa.
Well, let's just pass it straight back. Come on up. Come on down. Where's my piano player here? This is the moment right here. Come on down, baby. All right, a South African Bible school. Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, I'm in Every Nation in Pretoria.
Welcome. Yeah, all right. You, we love Pretoria. We Every Nation and Doxideo. There are friends there.
Yeah.
Alan Platt. I used to say Platt, but then I got rebuked there.
Yeah. I'm with Retief Berger. He's a worship leader, a well-known worship leader in South Africa. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Thank you. All right. Great. I feel like I just did a spring cleaning there. That was awesome. Next week, I'll be giving away all of my junk. So anyway, really great to see everyone, all of you guys. And I have an announcement that we're going to make about just some exciting changes that are coming up. But we're in as the video showed, we're in this series, Casket Empty. So we're still in creation. We're going to Genesis chapter 24. And today, Genesis 24 is the story of Isaac and Rebekah meeting each other and getting married. And so it's actually the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. So I'm going to read that, followed by Psalm 119 this morning. So Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the whole Bible. Hold on, let me get this. I'm short, but not this short. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Now, I know most of you don't bring your Bible to church. I'm old school like that. I still have a Bible with pages. Those of you guys who use your phone. And so I'm going to read a lot today. I'm going to read several. This is actually the most reading I think I've ever done in this setting right here. By the way, for our guests, do you know that you're on Broadway right now? This is on Broadway. You're on Broadway. So you can tell all of you can tweet it out. I'm on Broadway right now. I was singing on Broadway today. Some of you could tweet home, I was dancing on Broadway today. We saw you too. And you're right here in the shadow of Wicked and all the, you know, a lot of the big shows. So anyway, it's like the time that, have you ever heard of this church in Seoul, Korea, Yoido Gospel Church? It's by Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho. And it's the largest church building in the world. I happened to had the privilege in my 20s to preach there. Yeah, it's amazing. There was three security guards and a Korean pastor and me, and I preached there. And so I was sure to go home and say, I preached in the largest church in the world to five people, you know, for about 3 minutes. But so you can say I was on Broadway, all right? So enjoy yourself. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 24. I'm going to read probably for about 3 minutes. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but you can follow along. If you have a Bible, great. If you have a phone, you can do that, or just look on the screen on the monitor. I'm in the ESV version, which is what we typically use as our default mode translation. Lord, bless the hearing of this word. Let it shape and mold our hearts. Speak to us today. Lord, whether we're married or not married, speak to our hearts and teach us your ways. Amen. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell." Now, there's going to be some of these cultural nuances. Put your hand under my thigh. I've read several commentators who all say something a little bit of a nuance different. So I'm not even going to comment on that. Just don't try that at home, okay? That's not for our culture. But we'll go to my country and my kindred, take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land." That land was about 400 miles away. So it was a long journey. Obviously, he's asking that question. "Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came?" Abraham said, "See to it that you not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' and he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia in the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of the water at the time of evening, the time when the women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham." Boy, he's a wonderful servant, isn't he? I mean, really, look at his heart to please and to get the job done. "Behold, I'm standing by the spring of water. The daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, 'Please let down your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say, 'Drink, and I will water your camels.'" Now, this is a significant prayer request. This isn't just like, you know, let something normal happen, which is give me a drink. But he's saying also, "Drink, and I will water your camels," which culturally is not needed to do. It's not expected at all. That to water camels would be about an hour to 2 hours versus giving someone a drink, which would take about 5 minutes. So let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water to drink from your jar." She said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they finish drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all of his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. Beautiful answer to prayer here. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel, 2 bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels, and said, "Please tell," I mean, we're loading up with some serious bling here, right? "So please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" And she said, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder and room to spend the night." The man bowed his head, worshiped the Lord, and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman." And then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. Amazing, 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 right? Maybe it doesn't sound amazing to you, but God worked supernaturally to give Isaac a wife, all right? Where's Isaac? You'll see in a minute. But right now, he's just back home praying, and you'll see that in a second. Okay, let's go and look at the response in Genesis. Eliezer's received the blessing in 2450 through 53, where it says, "Then Laban," these are Rebekah's family, "Laban and Bethuel answered and said, this thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go. Let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed to the earth before the Lord, and the servant brought out jewelry, more jewelry, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments." So here's the blessing of the family. So it's like the spirit is moving. Eliezer is happy. Abraham hasn't heard the news yet, but he was certainly, as an old man, back praying. He was back home praying, and this family, and then it says finally in verse 62 that when they actually in verse, 57, they called the young woman, they asked her, and they called Rebekah, and they said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And then she said, "I will go." There's this such an alignment. Somebody's clapping. Somebody said, "I wish that was me. I want to be going to this rich man's castle and kingdom with all that bling." So, yeah, so she, of course she said, "I will go," right? I mean, you know, he's no dummy, right, to give all this. You can give gifts and not love, but you cannot love without gift giving. There has to be some gift giving here. So, okay, verse 62, this will close it up. And what's great about this text is there doesn't need to be a lot of exegeting. This is just telling the story. And so it speaks volumes for itself. Now, Isaac had returned from Beer Lahai Roi. And it sounds like I just got back from Hawaii this week. Sounds like another Hawaiian island like that, Lahai Roi. And Isaac was dwelling in the Negev, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. He lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel, and she said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It's my master." So she took her veil and she covered her face. And she said, and the servant herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. All right. Wow. Okay, I'm just going to basically jump in here and give you four quick points. And then we'll do as every Christian in town is, we'll go to lunch, all right? 4 points, lunch, all right? So, number one, here's my first point. All right, it's going to sound counterintuitive to the text, but the first point is marriage is not for everyone. All right, so just take a big breath and just say, it's not one of these messages that I got to start dating and I got to jump in the game and I got to get my act together and I got to quit playing video games all the time. I hear this from the pastor. I got to start dressing up. Can't wear a Mickey Mouse shirt anymore. Check, 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 check. I got to get with it and blah, blah, blah. There's no condemnation for being single. There's no such thing as a single person being like a one tennis shoe and not having a pair. It's being odd, being strange. New York City people really don't feel this way, but I want to affirm as a pastor, it's okay to be single. And the Bible calls singleness a gift. That's what it's called. The Bible doesn't call it weird, unattractive, unwanted, nothing. It's called a gift. And we need to get used to that. That if you have the gift of singleness, it's a gift, and you need to celebrate it like a gift. And God would have us to be comfortable in our singleness as single people. A bad marriage can be turned around. However, to be single is far better than to be in a wrong marriage. Celebrate your singleness unto God and look at it as the Bible calls it. It's a gift. It's a blessing. It's something that God calls good. It's called good in Scripture. And yes, marriage is a gift too. Yes, it's good. That's a good thing to be married. Yes, we'll get to that. But before we get to that, let's celebrate our singleness. Let's be excited about it. Let's be thankful for it. Let's be thankful that we're alive, you know? There's nothing bad about this. This is the station you're in. You say, well, I'm so old. I've never been married. I've never been wanted. God loves you. God wants you. We want you. We celebrate you. People celebrate you right now. And I don't like people putting condemnation on people like, why aren't you married? It's as if that a lot of people can't, what am I supposed to do? It's okay. I think it's just something that is really important that we, before we move forward, that we really celebrate this, that we celebrate our singleness. We celebrate that we are complete in Christ, that it's not like Rocky looked for Adrian, who became his wife and said, I just need someone to fill my gaps. You are complete in Christ. And thank you. And you're it's going to be, someone can't really, they can help you to get better. Marriage is designed to help us to be more holy. It's not designed for our every whim and every fancy and every pleasure. It's different than single people really imagine and think. It's what really matters is, how are you as a person? Are you all that God wants you to be? And Abraham took pains with his servant. By the way, this is Eliezer, the servant that, going back all the way back to Genesis 15, this is his man who's now been with him for the duration, Eliezer. And he was a master accountant. He was in that economy of things. He was like a Bank of America, sort of a VP or a president or something like that. So here's a very responsible man and a very dedicated man. And Abraham took pains to say, don't let him marry outside of God's will. And that's sometimes the painful thing, is that we as Christian people sometimes find it hard to meet someone. But our mistake is, don't give up. Just celebrate your completeness. Now here's a, this is a little bit out of sequence here, but I want you to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, out of the Message Bible. And it says, don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines your life. Don't think I'm being harder on you than all of the others or any others. I give this same counsel in all of the churches. Yes and amen. But especially in New York City. Sometimes I hear someone say, you know, what are we going to do for singles? I mean, I think we're mostly singles. You tell me, what should we do? I mean, do we have Christian speed dating? I mean, is that what we're suggesting here? Or, you know, but we're together. And yes, it's important that we open ourselves up to doing life together, even getting married. And I'm thankful that as long as I remember this church, there's always been several people getting engaged and getting married every year. Every year. There's going to be a marriage coming up next weekend or weekend after next. And thank God, people are finding one another. That's happening. But the way it happens is sometimes outside of our grid and outside of our expectation. I'll dig into that here momentarily, which brings me to my second point, and that is, don't go alone. Don't go alone. Marriage may not be for everyone, but when we feel ready, when we feel like we want to be married, then that's a great opportunity to check in with the community that God has put you with. Not all of us have Spirit-filled Christian parents to guide us and to encourage us in the process. I'm a first-generation Christian. I needed a lot of help in my journey, and I think most of us do. Proverbs 11:14 talks about seeking wisdom and seeking guidance. Matter of fact, all of Proverbs is about wisdom. Where there is no guidance, people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there's safety. And so as you look at this passage, there were several people involved. Her parents were involved. There was Eliezer the servant. Abraham was involved. The community was involved. And I think in our Western hyper-individualistic culture, we don't want help. We want to do this on our own. And we want to dig into, like, what is my type? And then we pursue that. And, you know, this is what's beautiful about this text is that Isaac really just had to receive what was brought to him. And I think if we live that way unto God, we get blessed. Think about it. If we really live like, God, you know better than me who I need. And I love Dave Tang's testimony of getting married at 39. And I love his testimony in Facebook profile. I was laughing, Dave. You know, thinking like, oh, she's my type, you know, or he's my type, or he's not my type, or she's not my type. You know, when God brings you someone, that's your type. When God assigns you to a city or a people or a church, that's your type. You know, we can spend all of our life like making judgment and the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, right? But when God brings someone into your life, what's my type? My type is right there. That's my type right there. And, you know, and about 5'2", blonde hair, beautiful, cute, wearing braces, 16 years old, wearing braces, cute as a button, younger looking every day. That's my type. So it's not like, yeah, my type is, you know, like a tall, you know, tall glass of tea, you know, or whatever, you know. I know a lot of guys, they've got a punch list. Seriously. And it's not that we don't have a value on character and attributes and all that. That's fair. But it's not fair to impose all of your hyper-individualistic thoughts, right? I mean, it really, really comes to the place where we want to trust God in the journey, trust God in the process. And sometimes it's as simple as opening your eyes. You've been friends with this person for 5 years, and you don't want to do life without this person. And that's a good moment for the community around to help guide that process and bring a nudge and say, you know, this is good. This is a good thing. All right. So I don't know if that helps anyone or you still want to go a little bit deeper here or whatever. But I remember going to Lynette's parents and talking to her. This is before we were committed to one another or anything like that. We just wanted to make sure that we're on the right path. And we received their blessing and their influence early on. I've talked to a lot of people who shun godly counsel. They shun it. Or they show up, like they come back, you know, it's like they come back from Vegas, say, I got married in Vegas. It's like, well, did you, you know, this didn't really happen, but this is the equivalent of some of the people. And it usually doesn't go well when people shun godly counsel. You know, usually, you know, we have trauma stories. And it's okay. If you have one of those stories, you're in the right. New York City is a great, and this is a great church. We don't judge anybody. You know, no one's being judged here. We all have our own baggage stories and our own trauma stories and our own things. But I think we have to look at this in the context of this text and realize that God puts a premium on community. Now, let's talk about the cultural stuff going on here. A father sends a servant out with a bunch of jewelry to go to some well, pray to God, and if the woman comes up and feeds your camels, bam. That's not going to work in New York City. Can I get a witness? Now, how do we apply? What's our application in our culture? Maybe it would be a dating app. Maybe it would be, you know, something online. Maybe it would be something like that. And And I think for me, looking at that, I think the motive of the heart is really important. I'm going to talk about this in a second, but the motive of the heart is really important. Why are you doing this? And secondly, doing it in the context, once again, of community. We don't, in healthy communities, we don't really keep secrets from everybody. We keep it from a lot of people, but there should always be a small group of people in your life that you can just tell anything to. And the more you get to know people and walk with people, I'm going to tell you a quick little story. I wasn't planning to do this, but there's Pastor Rice Brooks, Dr. Rice Brooks. He's my beloved brother and friend. We've been walking together for 30-some years. We talk probably 4 or 5 days out of the week, we talk on the phone. And if it was any more, my wife would probably tell me it's a little bit weird. But the thing is that she knows that when we talk, most of the time I'm coming back a better man. And hopefully he would say that too. But the other day, it's like we know each other so well. He started talking to me about things that were in a private place of my own heart that I was having to unravel. And he just pulled it right out like somebody was tending a garden. I thought, only a friend. Thank you. I actually, he doesn't even know this, but I started crying after that phone call. It's like, how can this be? God is so good that he puts us in community. He gives us people who know us, even when we don't like what we're dealing with, and we're struggling with things, and we're fighting through things. There are people that God allows to know the secrets of our lives to help us to get better. We are growing together. We're doing life together. We're better together. That's part of our assignment in New York City. We can't make it alone. We need each other. And especially in these personal areas, sometimes we need to just go to someone who's trusted and say, look, I have a crush on this girl. Like this is something that happened 10 years ago. She's a supermodel. I'm a computer geek gadget guy. She's a supermodel. I really like her, whatever. And I had to say, bro, I love you so much. She is not what that's not what God is saying, you know? And how many of you are glad that God did not answer every prayer that you ever prayed? Just about all of us would be married to somebody else. You know, and so thank God that he in his mercy, he sovereignly moves and he protects us. So culturally, it may be okay to go online. It may be okay to have a dating app or whatever. But let me just say, the odds are more in favor of you meeting the person that you marry in a bar than they are on a dating app. Mercy. Some people think, well, if I just go to another church, the pond is bigger. I've heard that one before. Not really true. No, it's not true, factually. The number one way that people meet their future spouse and get married. You ready for this? Here's the number one coming from a Report Linker Technologies. They specialize in data. First off, 81% of all people are not on any dating apps, the majority. So, okay, so you're Mr. Right or Mrs. Right or whoever. There is 60 or 70, 79%. I'm sorry. Sorry. There's 81% certainty that they're not online, okay? So I just want you to hear this. The number one way that you're going to meet your spouse is through your friends. Number one, through your friends. And that's why it's important to do life together in a community. 39 to 40% of everyone gets married. And this is the conservative, the least of the different stats that I've been reading. Because I can't quite tell which one. There's consistency, but not a technical alignment here on these percentages. 15% meet each other at work. 12% in bars or public areas. For you, I hope it's at a public area. Praise the Lord. All right. Nothing wrong with bars. You know, I have plenty of good friends who met their spouse at bars. And my favorite story is Lily and Pat Farrick. And she was up on a table dancing after she got drunk. And he fell in love with her. And they got married. And then they came to our church in North Carolina, got saved and born again and baptized. All right. But anyway, I'm just letting you know. That is the exception, not the rule. Don't try that one, okay? Here you go. 9% at church or as a hobby. 9%. 9%. So it's not like if I go to a church, my odds are high. Not necessarily. If you have good friends, that's how it works. Dating app, 8%. Some say higher. Family, meeting your spouse through family is at 7%. That is how it worked for Isaac and Rebecca. You know, a lot of cultures, that's how it works. We all know that, right? Americans resent that. But the other cultures that are non-Western, they celebrate that. So a lot of times we have to say which hat is right. And I will be the first to say there's no science behind this. There's not a right or wrong way. But there is the truth of the sovereignty of God and how God leads you and guides you and what he arranges on your behalf. All right? I mean, little things that we think. I remember like really wrestling with God over when we started this church after 9/11. I was wrestling with God over, do we put an ad in a magazine or not? Because I'd never in my life as a pastor ever advertised a church service. Never. It wasn't, but I was wrestling. I finally decided to raise the resources to run a full-page ad for 3 months in a row that we're meeting on 44th Street. And we put the ad in, Miracle on 44th Street. And then after we ran it for 3 or 4 months, I took a tally, and only one person had come because of that ad. I was so mad. It's like, that was a lot of money. I don't want to tell you how much, but it was a lot. It was more than $10,000. It was a lot of money. And I thought, this dumb thing doesn't even work. I'm going to call the owner of this Christian magazine. I was really ticked off a little bit, but it just so turned out that that one person is my wife, who I'm married to. She came because of that ad. Now, she came because that ad reminded her of the kind of church that she comes from, because she'd been in New York City going to prominent churches in New York City, and she said, that looks like my people. And so she came, and then, you know, months later, I met her, and when she told me, I said, how did you find this church? She said, through the ad. I was like, all right, praise God, you know, one person. All right, that's better than none. One is better than none. So, you know, see, little things along the way. I wrestled over that. Sometimes when you wrestle with something, it's not a no. It's not even a yes. It's wrestle with it until you own it, and then you make a decision. And whatever you decide at that point, use your faith that it's going to work. I did, and I'm sorry, Lord, that I thought it didn't work. And so I didn't get mad at God. I got mad at the magazine. But, you know, thank God it worked, right? But anyway, we met there. That's how we met. Now, God could have done it a lot of different ways. There's so many ways that he could do it. The worst thing to do is get schizophrenic about your life every day. Should I wear this or should I wear this? I wonder if Johnny at work likes pink, or does Johnny like blue, you know, or whatever. Or does Betty like this, or does Betty. There's Betty down here. Okay, Betty. What's a more modern name? Okay, then Betty. Megan. Okay, Megan. All right, so Pippi. Pippin. All right, so we can't be schizophrenic. The most important thing we do is live. Live for Christ. Live for God. The joy of the Lord is our everyday strength. The joy of Jesus Christ in our lives makes us handsome, makes us godly, makes us beautiful, makes us happy, makes us light up. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And we do not make marriage the ultimate. We do not make boyfriend, girlfriend, children the ultimate. We do not make family the ultimate. We do not make church the ultimate. We make God our ultimate, and he makes all things work out for our good, the purpose of God, the good purpose of God in our life, all works together. Why? Because we honor him, we trust him, we're satisfied with him. Okay. Now, let me say a couple last things under this category of going together with others in community. When we meet people, first off, online. I'm not against online, again, but I do want to say that all the statistics say online, there more people are lying than telling the truth about their profile. So we rule out the liars, and the men are lying about how much money they have, and the women are lying about their age, and people are, you know, whatever. So We just need to have our eyes wide open. Let me say something about our culture. This maybe it's not true in other cultures, but in ours, meeting someone does not have to be epic or romantic or have like heavenly music. It doesn't have to be that. It can be just normal. And I think that's important. And the main thing that God is looking for is it in His will? Is it in God's will? Is it in His will that we're not unequally yoked and going after the wrong person? And Abraham took pains to make sure that his son would marry someone in of the right kindredness and the right spirit. Number three, don't panic. You're not too old. You may be too young, but you're not too old. All right. Somebody got married recently. They were 100 years old. Yes. Yeah. I want to encourage you right now. Okay. So, all right. I just want to encourage you right now. That's encouraging. 100 years old. You're encouraged. Brothers encouraged. Yeah, maybe y'all should meet up after. You know, it's usually a timing issue. It's usually. There are many great singles in the Bible. Paul, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Daniel, the Ethiopian eunuch, John the Baptist, Jesus, and others. Many amazing singles in society. Condoleezza Rice, President James Buchanan, a president of the United States, was a single man. Leonardo da Vinci, Clara Barton, Nikola Tesla, the Wright brothers, Joan of Arc, etc. But what you see in Rebecca is what you see are the characters of a woman who's simply preparing herself for greatness. That's what you see. She was hospitable. She did the unthinkable of watering the people and then watering the camels. She was generous. She offered her family's home. Come, sleep with. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, that is incredible hospitality and generosity. She was making herself ready, which is what Revelation 17:9 said. His bride makes herself ready. And then for men, Proverbs 18:22, it's a good thing to find a wife. And the person who does obtains favor from the God. So, ladies, my best advice to you is just prepare yourself. Men, go into pursuit mode. This is something that we see in our culture thanks to digitalization, thanks to the internet, thanks to gaming, thanks to all this stuff. It's a known fact that men are becoming a little bit more passive. And this is where my encouragement is to rise up and to go and pursue. If you want to be married, if you're ready to be married, it's time to pursue and to, in the context of community, get advice, get counsel, ask someone for coffee. After that, a few times, ask someone to lunch. After that, take them to the finest restaurant in New York City. Then you buy them a gift, and she might be ready to, you know, settle down. You don't know. Keep at it. All of this is in the context, scripturally, of a greater pursuit. In Genesis 24:58, she was asked that question, will you go? Will you go with this man? She said, I will. And she took the journey. When you look at this analogously, when you look at this, not, you know, this is not the context, but when you look at this, this is a type. Isaac, as we saw last week, he went to the cross. When you look at this, Isaac is a type of the son. Abraham is a type of the father. Eleazar, who is nameless in this passage, is a type of the Holy Spirit who's helping and guiding the entire process. You look at this. Rebecca is a type of the church. And that question, will you go with this man? Will you go with Isaac? Will you go with him? I like that because when we look at this through the lens of how God can speak to us through Scripture, the question is, will you go with Christ? That's really the ultimate here. Are you willing to trust Him with your life, with your emotions, your soul, and everything? Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to just pray hope into your soul this morning. Lynette, why don't you come and join me? Let's just pray hope and peace. Part of my ambition in this is just to give a little bit of understanding of how this works, but also I really just want to encourage you. you're doing great. You're awesome. You're okay. Don't panic. Be at peace, okay?
Yes. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that we know with such strong conviction that you who began a good work in us are faithful to complete it, Lord. I'm confident that the desires of the diligent will be fully satisfied, that the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is upright. Lord, thank you that the desires of these diligent in this room are going to be satisfied. Lord, some of us are waiting for a mate, and I thank you that nothing can stop the plan of God, that our past, our mistakes, our wanderings and our wanderings cannot keep us from the will of God. Lord, your grace and mercy abide over us and for us. Lord, I thank you that for those of us who need a miracle in our marriage, I pray, God, that you would touch and bring change and bring renewal. Lord, there's so many needs in this audience. I could go on and on, but God, I want to thank you that you are more than enough, that you are faithful, Lord, that intimacy with you, personal intimacy with you, trumps everything. It is the most wonderful, ever new, powerful gift we can ever have in our lives. It trumps everything, every relationship humanly possible. And I want to thank you that each of us are growing deeper. If you're in this audience this morning while our eyes are closed, if you've been really realizing in your life that you need a deeper walk with God, maybe you've been away from the Lord, maybe you've been far from his kingdom, far from his people, maybe you've known before, but recently it's been bad or it's been rough. If you want us to pray for you this morning, you really want to come back, you're hearing these words and saying, I need to be back with God's people. I need to be back in the kingdom of God. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Yes, just keep raising those hands. It's a powerful choice to say, I've been away, but I'm coming home. I'm coming back. Don't even know how to come back. Don't even know what I need to do next. But right now, God, every hand that's raised, it's like sitting in the classroom saying, can I have a chance? Can you call on me? And Lord, I hear you calling on these people today, saying, I'm with you. I'm for you. Come home. Yes. I'm with you. I'll show you the way. I've been waiting for you. It's like that father of the prodigal son, every day waiting at the end of the driveway saying, will today be the day he comes home? And today you're coming home. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Now, Lord, make every high place low and every low place high. Lord, give us what we need. Lord, health, strength, vigor, and most of all, the ability to hear the voice of God. Open our ears. Open our eyes, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful treasures.
Father, we thank you for that word, that prayer. We just praise you and thank you, God, that you sovereignly lead us, guide us. You're never letting us go. Just say these words out loud. Say, God, you are never letting me go. Just say, God, you got my back. You heal my heart. You heal my soul. From everything that's happened, all the bad stuff, Jesus bore it. He saw it. He forgives. He heals. He redeems everything. Through Jesus, I am worthy. Through Jesus, I am complete. In Christ, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. I want to just thank the Lord, everybody.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.